Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast, which will focus on the December meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. The meeting took place in London on 13 and 14 December 2017. My name is Matt Tilling and I am the Director of Education here at the Foundation. As usual, I'm together with the Chair of the Board, Hans Hogevorst. We are also joined by Board Member Amaro Gomez. Hans, let's go straight to the board's discussion at the latest meeting then. It all started with a discussion on primary financial statements, which covered both proposed improvements to the income statement and the cash flow statement. Let's start with the income statement. What's the board's discussion been about there?
Yes, Matt. Well, as you know, in last month's meeting, the board decided to introduce two new subtotals in the income statement, the investment category and a EBIT-like category. This to help investors to make better comparisons between companies above the bottom line. And at this month's meeting, we went back to a topic that we started discussing earlier this year, which is how can we bring management performance measures, measures that management identifies as the key performance indicators, into the financial statements. And the idea behind these efforts is that today many companies present non-GAAP measures outside the financial statements, which means that they are often poorly reconciled or not audited. And the idea is that bringing some of these measures into the financial statements could make them more transparent and subject to external audit. So the board had quite a long discussion on how management performance measures should be presented. It's a difficult issue because some board members questions whether including non-GAAP performance measures in the primary financial statements would give them more prominence than they would deserve. What we concluded was that a management performance measure can be presented in the income statement if it fits into our proposed structure for the income statement, and that it's and when it satisfies the existing requirements for subtotals. This is something that really is already the case. If it does not fit into the income statement as it is, then the management performance measure should be presented in a separate reconciliation, where it then is reconciled with a measure that is already defined in IFRS standards. We still have to decide where in the financial report this should be presented, but it should be separate from the income statement.
And you also discussed some improvements to the cash flow statement.
The board agreed with the staff's proposal to eliminate some presentation options in the cash flow statement. We have tentatively decided to remove the existing options for the classification of interest and dividends paid and of interest and dividends received for non-financial entities. And that is something that many investors have asked for, because currently there's a lot of diversity in practice. And we have also decided to require a consistent subtotal as the starting point for the indirect reconciliation of cash flows from operating activities. We think we should pick a subtotal that is presented higher up in the income statement than profit or loss to reduce the number of reconciling items in the cash flow statement.
While we're looking at that, a number of times in this podcast and other podcasts, we've talked about the idea of tentatively deciding. Can you talk to us just briefly about what it means to say something is tentatively decided?
Well, most of our projects are chunked up into smaller parts that we debate, and then we make tentative decisions on during the monthly meetings. Now, you don't know how in the end all these tentative decisions will add up, and you will have to might have to circle back and change a previous decision. So it's basically decisions are tentative until the package as a whole has been decided upon.
Amaro, the board also discussed the goodwill and impairment project this month. Could you remind us what this project is about?
Of course, Matt. Thank you very much. The goodwill impairment project is the result of the post-implementation review of the business combination standard, IFRS 3. And one area we are focused on at this very moment is assessing whether the impairment test in IAS 36 can be improved. This can be in two fashions. One is by making it less complex and less costly for companies, for preparers. and also by making the impairment model more effective in capturing the right amount of impairment loss at the right time. There are some level of criticism in the terms of the impairment test doesn't capture at the proper time the very signs of assets being impaired. Of course, there may be a trade-off between these two objectives of making less complex and less costly and being more effective, but we are very much discussing the alternatives.
And what was the purpose of this month's session?
Well, this month's session, we've been having fairly intensive discussions on goodwill and impairment, actually, since the project was reactivated in March 2017. Again, reminding this is the result of the post-implementation review of IFRS 3. But the board so far had not made any decisions before this month. At this month's session, that was very important, of course, the staff brought back a package of some possible approach the board had discussed previously and asked the board which approach it wanted to explore further. A significant portion of the board's discussion was around the updated headroom approach, which aims to make the impairment test more effective. The board, as a majority, supported exploring this approach further in the discussion paper, though some board members are concerned that the approach may be more costly than the current impairment test, and few board members raised conceptual questions. But of course, with the discussion paper, we'll have the chance to explore further these aspects.
And there were also some approaches the board decided not to pursue further.
Yes, this is very important when we are developing any package to be discussed, because we have to be very aware of the timing that we is necessary to assess all the possibilities. And the board tentatively decided not to provide relief from the annual quantitative impairment test of goodwill. This is particularly because we think this would reduce the rigor of the test. And also, the board was not supportive of reintroducing amortization of goodwill either. Views on this issue have always been polarized for the ones who are following the project more closely. And we don't think there are any new arguments or new evidence that support moving back to an amortization model that was abandoned when the board approved IFRS 3.
But perhaps I could add to this that the discussion paper will contain a discussion on amortization of goodwill, so it's also something that the our constituents can react upon. It has not definitively been put to rest.
Yeah, the board collectively felt that it was fair to report in the discussion paper, since the objective is to gather feedback on the alternatives for impairment and for IFRS 3, that we should detail all the potential alternatives and hear back from constituents about the issue.
I imagine we'll get quite a lot of discussion around that point. The board's discussion seemed to suggest that we are now working towards a discussion paper.
Yes, I think considering the complexity of the issues around it and the various alternatives that we have identified as valuable to discuss and gather evidence and gather feedback, and it was already mentioned several times. However, the board has not decided whether the next due process document will be a discussion paper or an exposure draft. Our feeling is that we are towards this discussion paper, considering the alternatives that we just mentioned, but we had the decision will be taken definitely in a future meeting.
What other topics is the board planning to discuss in the future?
Well, at future meetings, we intend to discuss some possible simplifications to the calculation of value in use and whether some intangible assets should be subsumed in goodwill. We foresee that we may continue our discussion on disclosures as well, since disclosure is always an important part of any project that we develop.
Can you also summarize for us the discussions on business combinations under common control?
Yeah, for sure. At this month's meeting, we made some further decisions about whether particular types of transactions are included within the scope of the project. As you can gather from the title of the project, Business Combination Under Common Control, we need really to be sure we are considering only those transactions, or if there are other transactions that that should be taken into consideration. And the transactions discussed included ones that are conditional on a future change in control, for example, in an initial public offering, or that are preceded by or followed by another transaction with an external party. We've also started discussing accounting methods, like we discussed which factors the board should consider when selecting an accounting method, and we discussed whether the same method should be applied to all transactions in the project scope, or whether there should be different methods for different types of transactions. No decisions regarding methods have been made, and we'll continue our discussions at future meetings.
Hans, there was also a session on rate regulation.
Yes, first of all, the staff provided feedback on the discussions that we have had with our rate regulation consultative group in October. Those are a group of experts that know the industry very well. So that consultative group consists of preparers, auditors, users and regulators who all have had practical experience with rate regulation. So they provide us with very specialized information that the board members don't automatically have. The October meeting was very helpful to us. At that meeting, the experts discussed some operational aspects of the proposed model, and their feedback was quite positive. And the staff and board members involved feel more confident that the model that we have been discussing thus far, that it could be workable in practice.
You also discussed the project timeline for rate regulation.
Yes, the board will discuss first some conceptual issues in the first quarter of 2018. Questions like, is it conceptually sound to recognize a regulatory asset or a regulatory liability? We think that that timing is right, because some of those discussions will rely on the new conceptual framework, which we should be close to having finished by then. The discussions that we have had with the consultative group have also pointed us in the direction of an exposure draft rather than a discussion paper. Here again, the board still needs to make a final decision, but we feel we have sufficiently firm ground under our feet that we can probably directly go to an exposure draft rather than a discussion paper. We expect to publish our next due process document in 2019, so that's still some way to go because we have to go through all the decisions.
Amaro, it's been over a year since the board last discussed the Principles of Disclosure project. What's been happening since then?
So it's important to recall that we published the Principles of Disclosure discussion paper back in March of this year. So since then, of course, we are interacting with our stakeholders to gather the feedback on the paper. And also we are, since the closure of the comment period, we are now analyzing, going through the comment letters that we sent to us. So during this comment letter that ended at the beginning of October, we received more than 100 comment letters, and we conduct extensive outreach activities. So the staff are now analyzing this feedback we have received, and also together with the feedback we heard in various outreach activities that we conducted during this period.
What was the purpose of this month's board meeting?
Well, the staff gave us a heads up of the general views that came through in the comment letters. And actually, the staff are still working on the detailed analysis of the comment letters and other feedback received, which they will present to the board in February. So actually, we'll discuss the feedback received on the discussion paper in more detail in the February podcast for sure.
Hans, the board also discussed some implementation issues.
Yes, as usual, the board received an update on the topics that were discussed at the previous month's Interpretations Committee meeting, the November meeting in this case. One thing I would like to highlight is that the committee's latest tentative agenda decisions on IFRS 15, the new revenue standard, that they were somewhat detailed because we want to be as helpful as possible to companies implementing the new standard. However, we do know that we need to maintain the right balance as to how detailed we make our agenda decisions to avoid undermining the appropriate use of judgment by others or unduly disrupting the implementation of a new standard. So we have to find the right balance between being helpful and not giving excessive detailed guidance. I think we are basically there.
Well, this is the last podcast for 2017, and I thought, Hans, I might ask you top three highlights for the year.
Well, obviously the main highlight in 2017 is the publication of IFRS 17, the new insurance standard. I've often said that I believe that of the four big standards that were produced in the last couple of years, that this is probably the most important one. Given the fact that there is no standards like IFRS 9 or the leasing standard, we're basically improving on existing standards. On insurance, there's not truly a international standard. IFRS 4 basically allows national standards to exist. And as a result, there's a huge diversity of practice in the world, and often accounting standards for insurance are very antiquated and not up to the standards of today. So that is going to be enormous progress. Secondly, I would like to mention the progress that we achieved on the disclosure initiative. We produced this discussion paper that we just Amaro just discussed. Issued in a materiality practice statement, which I think is going to be very helpful to preparers. And we published a case study report of best practices on how to improve the financial statements, which I think was also very helpful for the preparers. And then finally, I would like to mention the issue that we started this podcast with, which is primary financial statements. I think we made quite a bit of progress in identifying new subtotals, a new structure of the income statement, which I believe is going to be extremely helpful to investors around the world, which is something that they have consistently been asking for.
Amaro, what about you? Is there anything you'd add to that list?
Yeah, I would echo Hans' highlights for the year on the technical side. In being from an emerging markets region mainly, I think the highlights for the year, at least in my experience in Latin America in particular, is the significant expectation with implementation of IFRS 15 and IFRS 9. I think the process is going relatively smoothly in the region, and I do foresee an implementation without major issues. So those three will be on the technical side. Two additional things I would mention as a top three. One is the work with the Emerging Economies Group. As you might be aware, the Emerging Economies Group is a group that meets twice a year, and the group really matured in terms of the technical issues that it discusses, and it's been extremely fruitful and valuable, the discussion with them, especially because they can share the challenges and the issues that they have to face in implementing IFRS in various stages in this country. So we had two very fruitful meetings this year, as we have been doing since 2010. And actually, another issue is the result of the Memorandum of Understanding we signed with the World Bank. We have made a significant progress in terms of aligning our efforts in terms of cooperation with the World Bank, and I do believe the results will be extremely positive for both organizations in the years to come.
Well, that brings us to the end of the December podcast. Thank you, Hans and Amaro, and thank you to our listeners. From all of us here, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. A full summary of the board's discussions and decisions at the December meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. Thank you, and we'll talk to you all soon.